are. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday in the year of our Lord 2017 on March the 9th. And as I indicated yesterday, we were going to have a special guest in the studio. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here, so Wes Reimnes is here instead. Hi, Wes.
I drove all this way for the abuse.
And you got stuck on the bridge.
Yeah, I got stuck on the bridge. Did you know I'm home alone?
No.
My wife left me.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Let's not talk about things like that now on the
radio.
So
I came down here to go shopping.
Oh, good. See, it's just the opposite. Every time I go to Trinity Orchard Farm, she's never home alone. She goes shopping. So I try and take the credit cards with me, but boy, you know, they have ways. Yeah, she found a new grocery store, fresh food or something like that. Mm. And boy, it's really good. But for Lent, we were talking about this, about giving things up for Lent. I don't understand why you give up things, you know, that aren't much of a sacrifice. Like, I like White Castles. I want to give them up. But a lot of times she'll make food that's good for me, and I've decided to give up food that's healthy for me during Lent.
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, right. I don't give up stuff. I give stuff.
Oh, really?
I do sacrificial giving.
Oh, good. Well, then guess who's going to get the check when we go out to eat at Steak and Shake today? Thank you very much, Wes.
Oh, yes.
So you preached for Lent, and I preached for Lent last night. And we actually have somebody on the phone who wants to talk to you. Let's go listen to Herman. Herman, you're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. I have this for your pastor's consideration theologically, biblically. There is another denomination that goes by the name Lutheran that has published both a hymnal and a new version of Luther's Small Catechism, and when they deal with the Apostles' Creed, they've changed a line in there that said he descended into the dead instead of he descended into hell, referring to Jesus in the second article. How would you praise that difference? Is that accurate?
How would you appraise that difference, did
yes,
you ask?
How would you evaluate that change of wording from Jesus descended into hell replaced with he descended to the dead?
To the dead. Well, as is my custom when I have a guest, I let him answer first, and then I'll correct him. So go ahead, Wes.
I believe it's in
First Peter.
First Peter.
It's First Peter 3:18-19.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
That's in the New Testament.
Is that in the New
Testament?
Wes,
yes.
Yeah.
I'll read it while he's looking for it. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Then we have to know who they were. They formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. So that is the unbelieving spirits who died in the flood. So how would you respond to he descended to the dead rather than he descended to hell?
It's kind of an artsy sort of thing to say, but I would say no, because when it says they went to proclaim in the prison, they were talking about hell itself.
Yes. The Apostles' Creed, Herman, actually used 1 Peter 3 for that phrase. They were not talking about Christ descending to hell on the cross. In fact, we're going to be talking about that at Trinity Orchard Farm when we get to the my God, why have you forsaken me? Because there he experienced separation from the Father, which is hell. Now, the only thing I might want to say is, you know, Herman, there are three levels of heaven. The first level is the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the Holy Christian Church. Then when a person dies, they go to the interim. That's the second level. And then after judgment day, their body is restored to their spirit and they live in heaven eternally. It's also interesting to note that Jesus, he does have hell existing, but originally was made for the devil and his angels.
Right. I was looking that up in Matthew chapter 25.
Oh.
Yeah, verse 41.
And what does that say?
He will say also say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yes. So the question some are saying, we know the heaven we're going to isn't yet prepared because he says, I'm going there to build a mansion, prepare a mansion. And so some people might suggest that that hell isn't yet there. But the problem is, as Pastor Reimnitz read, he says, that which is already prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right. So hell was never intended for mankind.
No, not originally. And it's only because we join with Satan in our fall into sin. So I will stay with he descended into hell because that's what the creed was. And remember, in our confessions, we have three what we call ecumenical creeds. The
Apostles, Nicene, Athanasian.
Yes, very good. And therefore, to confess what they confessed would be to show our okay. Now, Wes, why do you think, and I'm sure he's talking about ELCA, ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, who are very liberal, why would they change hell into dead? You know why?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think is that there are some theologians, and I'm not sure this is, who don't believe that people are going to hell. They believe in universal salvation for everybody. And therefore, saying that they went to the dead, you know, those are people, too, that could be saved. I'm just ignorant of why they would say that.
Well, Jesus refers to the separation even in the present sense when he gave the parable of the rich man and
Lazarus. Yes.
And plus when in chapter 5 of Genesis, Enoch was taken from the earth alive. He wasn't taken into hell. And then when the transfiguration, there was Moses and Elijah. They certainly weren't coming in from hell. It strikes me as that's what my suspicion was, is what you just said, that it's a reference to an idea of universalism.
Yes, that's what I would have said. If you take a look at those who say that, they talk about a second chance at being saved. In fact, there are a number of books written like that. One's called My Descent into Death, A Second Chance at Life. But of course, this is all speculation and this individual's own vision, and it's not backed up by scripture at all. So, does that answer your question as best as we're able to?
Yes. So, effectively, to use the scriptural teachings summarized, particularly in the Apostles' Creed, we would stay with the term, he descended into hell.
Yes, there's no doubt about that, that is the place where the unbelievers are going, and so that God had prepared that for the wicked angels, I'm not surprised that unbelieving spirits go there.
Yeah.
It also would put into confusion Jesus' role of exaltation as well.
When he
went, died on the cross and was buried.
That's very good. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Herman.
Thank you.
Okay. By the way, you may have been surprised to hear Herman, because normally we don't take phone calls on Thursday. Open Mic Friday is tomorrow. But we are taking phone calls today because Wes is in here. And so if you'd like to phone in St. Louis, 821-0850. Or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And normally I have about 10 listeners, but now that Wes is here, we're up to about 12.
Yeah, I paid a couple to come and listen.
Yeah, because your wife, even though she's shopping, she can still listen to the radio.
She's in the airport right now.
No, she's going. Yeah. Where's she flying to?
Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Yeah, my daughter's out there. They're going to do a marathon.
A marathon? Running?
A half marathon on Saturday.
Oh, my.
That's what I said.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, the piggyback on our last caller a little bit, you know, we are told it is appointed unto man once to live, once to die, and then comes the
judgment.
Judgment. And then also when you read in 2 Corinthians, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
So they all appear there, but what's their judgment going to be on?
Whether they have faith or not.
Faith or not. Yeah, you go to 2 Corinthians 6, the next chapter, and it said at the acceptable time, he listened to us, now is the day of salvation. He looks at the faith that's in the heart.
And that good parable of, we call it Dives and Lazarus, although that's not really his name. Dives just means rich man.
Rich man, yeah.
And so we're not sure his name, but Lazarus isn't the Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead either. At any rate, this is a different Lazarus, a poor fellow. And already they have these two places Jesus has in the parable, because Dives says, send back to my brothers,
yes.
And then what does Abraham say? They have and Moses.
And the word.
And the prophets. Yeah. If they don't hear them, they won't believe, even if someone...
From the dead.
Were to rise from the dead. Yeah. Very good. Which Jesus, of course, did.
But it goes to show that it's faith in the word, and we have that word and sacraments that are there for us as believers. And for all mankind, you know, we talked about Lent, that we had our Lenten services last night.
Oh, yeah.
But whether it's Wednesday or Sunday, we proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ.
Excellent. The difference in the hell that will occur after Judgment Day, and a lot of people don't realize this, is the bodies are not only going to return to the spirits of those who are in heaven, but also to those who are in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, they are divided, and then the Matthew 25 you mentioned.
Right.
The left and the right, the sheep and the goats. And that's at the time that those evil spirits, unbelieving spirits in the body, then go to hell.
Right. But that judgment's all based upon what's going on right now.
That's right.
In the life of the believer or unbeliever.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking to the kids about was eternal life, and I want to get to that, but first of all, let's...
Chet.
Let's go listen to Chet. Chet, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Pastor Reimnitz is here, too.
Yes. That's good. I got dual pastors to respond to my question. That should help.
Well, no, that means you'll have two different answers.
And we'll confuse you.
What I was talking about, I was grappling with figuring out, how do you make a distinction between God's life-giving spirit and the Holy Spirit? You know, like it says in the beginning, God created Adam from the dust and breathed into him the breath of life. But then when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. So how do you theologically make the distinction between life, the Spirit of life, and the Holy Spirit?
Okay. What are you made up of, Chet? You're made up of a body and a...
And a soul.
Yes. Well, the word soul also can be referring to spirit. And the spirit that is in Genesis, that hovered over the face of the waters, is the Holy Spirit. And you actually receive the Holy Spirit at a Pentecost baptism. Remember, John the Baptizer said, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me will baptize you with the water and the Spirit. And so this is something that no Old Testament believer had. He came to faith by the Holy Spirit working on him, but at Pentecost, you actually receive the Holy Spirit to such a degree that your body now becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I can understand why it's confusing, because the word Spirit for both the Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit is the same words in the original language, and you have to look at the context. Do you have a follow-up there, Pastor Reimnitz?
No, I was just going to say, you hit the nail on the head.
Oh, okay. Does that help, Chet?
Well, I'm still a little bit confused.
How so?
Well, I mean, everyone has the Spirit of life, but not everyone is saved and possesses the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
Correct, yeah.
Only through faith. And that comes, like, for us, we baptize infants, and it's very clear that in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, when you're baptized, you receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So a unbeliever never receives the gift of the Holy Spirit because he doesn't believe. Once he receives that gift, he then has faith in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit within us, and we refer to that often as the new man or the new Adam, he's the one that struggles against our old Adam. And remember what David says in Psalm 51, Chet, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And so that's the Holy Spirit that comes about at Pentecost, because they're quoting the Old Testament prophecies in regard to that gift of baptism.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still kind of, I can't quite put it together, because everyone has life. Just like when he breathed life into Adam, that was God's Spirit giving him life. I still don't.
Well, let me ask you this. Does the devil have life?
Yes.
No.
He doesn't.
He has death. Remember, Jesus talks about the unbelieving Pharisees as the walking dead. In other words, life is what Adam and Eve received when they were created. But then they lost the image of God. They lost that life. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and
the life.
The life. And that comes about when you receive faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you are back into life, whereas those who don't receive that, yes, they have the life of a spirit, so they're living in the sense, in the temporal realm, but they're still dead in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, that much I understand.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and don't hesitate to call again.
Thank you.
God bless. And anybody else can call us at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727.
I think that was a good point you made about the walking dead. You know, there are so many people out there that don't know Christ, and we see them, they're breathing, they're living, but do they have life? And the abundant life, the life of the Holy Spirit, you know, as salvation in Christ.
And why do we say that they don't have life?
They don't have Jesus. They don't believe in the promises of salvation through Christ, who's died and rose for us, you know, died upon the cross and rose for us.
Yes, and therefore what we're talking about is really a question of theology. No doubt about that. Somebody did call in, but they were unable to stay on the line. The question was, why is Wes's wife leaving him? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I misread that. Does the word hell in Latin also mean grave?
I don't have my Latin in front of me.
Yeah. Believe it or not, the Latin is infernum.
Infernum.
Yes.
Burning.
Yes, yes, yes. And so the Latin word for hell, there's a number of ways it can be looked at. It can be also referred to as the abyss, the infernalis. That's the Latin, and that's normally the normal one. In the Old Testament, the word hell is...
Sheol.
Yeah, Sheol. Very good. Very good. And so I'm not sure what they were asking about, but I don't think the word hell means grave.
No.
No, it's actually another place. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Joe. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, Chet's call, I really appreciate it. I've been trying to figure that out, I think, what he was asking. But in Romans 8, where Paul is describing walking in the Spirit,
yes,
and not in the flesh, like how much that corresponds to his question in my mind, that just that, like the life that God gave to Adam, and how much of our own lives that we're trying to, like, recreate the Garden of Eden here on Earth. And
yes,
instead of looking to where our life really flows from as Christians, is it flows from the fact that we're united with Jesus Christ in his death. But that the life, the true life, is ahead of us. Like, it's where Jesus is, not behind us where Adam was. And I guess just, you know, how do you put that into practice? And I guess that's in my mind thinking, well, you know, I want to make heaven on earth, but I keep looking back there and there's nothing but death.
Right. Remember Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, the things I want to do, I can't do, the things I'm trying to stop, who's going to deliver me? But he begins chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because he says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Well, what's the difference? The law of sin is when you sin, you should die. The law of the Spirit isn't that you stop from sinning, but instead that you repent of that sin, and therefore you are forgiven by that sin, because God has done for us what the law could not do, because we're weakened by the flesh. And he did that by sending his only begotten Son into flesh and became sin, and he condemned sin in the law, in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And that's because you're wearing Christ's robe of righteousness.
That's, yeah, like, to think in practical terms, that we keep, like, in the broadest sense of repentance, like, to quit looking at the old life, but always looking back to Jesus, like, turning from the dead things that are never coming back.
Yes.
And looking to the new life. And then just the one other amazing thing is where Jesus showed up after his resurrection and breathed on the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and thinking, God breathing the second time, breathing life into the human race. And I don't know, it's just amazing to me.
That's why we sing Amazing Grace. Grace.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling. Any comments on that, Pastor?
He brought up a good point about life in the tree of life, you know, and of course it disappeared after Adam and Eve sinned and won't reappear until the new heaven and new earth.
In fact, aren't you writing something about the tree of life?
I'm writing a Bible study, getting ready for...
Interesting.
So I thought he brought up an excellent point. And what's the tree that we hold to today? It's the tree that Jesus died on.
Yeah, the cross.
Yeah. And the fruits of that is the Lord's Supper. Baptism.
You got three trees. You've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You got the tree of life. And that's why Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden, so they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever at that point in their sinful state. And then you have the tree that brings us all back into life, which is the cross. How many lessons are you writing?
Just one. Yeah, I'm going to pack it all in about 100 pages. No.
100 pages?
But you brought it up. On Tuesday, you guys talked about it, that that a little bit of heaven on earth is
yes.
found in our worship service.
That's right. That's a back taste to the Garden of Eden, I like to say, and a foretaste to heaven itself.
Right. There we're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and the Word and in the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, and we remember our baptisms, and it's just all part of keeping us on the road to heaven.
Well, I really do want to thank Andy Bates for being here today, because he answered the phones for us. Oh, and also Wes Reimnitz, yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
Maybe you can get in here again, but you'll be listening on next Thursday.
Right.
Over the phone. So thanks very much. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow's Open Mic Friday. And by the way, there is no Bible study at Trinity Orchard Farm tonight. The folks wanted to come to the Lenten services instead of the Thursday night Bible study. So that will continue after Easter, God willing. Till tomorrow, Wes Reimnitz and Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.